guys. Don't expect anything from me. I'm not giving you anything this morning. This comes from him. This comes from him. This is his presence. This is his afi. This is his arm. Don't be alarmed at the hand you feel on your shoulder. Angels often walk around and they touch people physically. And it does freak out some people, but it's the supernatural presence being made manifest. Thank you, Jesus. More, Lord. More. Fuego Espiritu Santos. Fuego Espiritu Santos. Fuego Espiritu Santos. Fuego Espiritu Santos. The fire of the Holy Spirit. The fire of the Holy Spirit. The fire of the Holy Spirit. Fuego, fuego, fuego. Agni, 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 agni. Namai, harimai. E te wairua tapue. Hallelujah. Hare mai, Lord. You're welcome. Namai, namai, namai. O te wairua tapue. He. Down your spine. I mean, there's Janet and Noah, we're calling out healings, but I don't have to call out the healings. There's too many. There's backbones being healed. Spinal discs in your spine are being snapped into place. That air conditioning, I think it was called out, there's that air conditioning, that lump dissolving, that blockage just dissolving. You'll be able to... There's a fella, prayed for him, big Māori fella, been deaf in his ear, one of his ears for years. After the karakia, he went and had a moi. When he woke up, there was a half-eaten cockroach lying on the pillow next to his ear. He'd been deaf for years. It was witchcraft. Been on him for years and years and years, but this witchcraft thing got broken. This thing crawled out of his ear, and he could hear again. Presence of God is greater. Yeah, hey. So how many are feeling this presence of God, the touch of God physically, or the wind? Anyone feeling the wind? What about the fragrance? Anyone smelling the beautiful fragrance? It's like cassia, myrrh. Nomai, haremai, wairua, tapu. There's that heat. Who's got that like a heat lamp behind your head, behind your neck? Yeah, it's that presence of God. That's actually, it's the angel of the Lord standing behind you, and he's just opened up his wings or his arms. And this radiance is just flowing upon you. He says, I got your back. I got your back. I got your back. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you can be seated, whanau. Just want to thank Wes and Janet just for the honor of speaking at this amazing conference. It is it's one of the highlights of the year for me now. Yeah, I don't usually like conferences. I get sick of them. They're so boring. Not all of them, some of them. It's just so boring. Just talk. So it's just talk, talk, talk. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. It's all hooey, hooey. It's no actually getting out and doey, doey. It's just, they said we're empowering the body, but it's not. They're just telling stories about what God did with them. They don't show the people how to do what God did. And so I've devised a thing called Warrior Activist Course. It's a two-day course, and I train believers. I don't care where you come from, what church you belong to. Just if you just love Jesus and you want to extend his presence into society, the kingdom, come along and you get 2 days of input, and I'll teach you how to release the supernatural. I'll teach you how to prophesy, how to move in word of knowledge and the supernatural power, but also how to unblock your wells. A lot of Christians got blocked wells, and that rivers can't flow. The Philistines were put in dirt, stones, or dead bodies in the wells so that God's people will move off the fenom, off the land. And he does that to Christians. The dirt is the flesh. The rocks are the offenses. We get offended. And the dead bodies are toxic relationships that we're connected to that rob us of what Jesus wants to do with our life. And so I teach you how to unblock your well. And it's a powerful 2 days, I tell you. Ask anyone who's been to a WAC course. I'll tell you. They might advertise. So if you want me to come back and do a WAC, once we're at Orange, I'm going to come back to Christchurch and do another couple of WACs in Christchurch before the end of the year. So put your name down and give it to Janet or Wes, and when it's time to come down, I'll just put a notice out and we do it. We'll do it. Yeah, we'll do it. Yeah, and so that's activating. That's empowering. That's I show you how I do what I do. I show you how to operate in that gift. You've all got gifts. I just help you to unlock those gifts, to recognize and activate what you're carrying. I'm not giving you the gift. You're already carrying the gift. But I will show you how to activate that gift. But I will do an impartation over you too. I'll lay hands upon you and do an impartation. And that's what Lorinda was talking about the other day, that when I laid hands on her, something happened. It happens. There's an impartation. So I'm so honored to serve you, God's people. Anyway, this message is called Living Above the Snake Line. Living Above the Snake Line. They're all snakes, symbolic of serpent, Satan, demons. And did you know that this is a real thing? There is in nature an invisible yet very real line above which you will never find a snake in America. Early settlers in America referred to this line as the snake line. Often, when purchasing property, they would ask the seller whether the property was above the snake line. They knew that the land on the mountain was more rocky, harder to clear, and not as fertile as the land in the valley, but they also knew that the land in the valley was infested with rattlesnakes, adders, and copperheads. Many early American settlers chose to raise families on the higher ground above the snake line, rather than risk snake bites for them or their family. You know, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, the first Adam, you know, they had this close relationship with God. What's that scripture? It says Ecclesiastes 10:8, that whoever breaks a wall, a serpent or a viper will bite him. Whoever breaks a wall. So Adam and Eve, when they first created, they had this protective wall around them. They were in right relationship with God. I think it was righteousness. And because they're right with God, although the serpent was in the garden, the snake was in the garden, they were above the snake. God gave them dominion above every creeping thing. They were above the snake until they began to yield their thoughts and their soul and to the snake. And as a result, they were enticed by the snake, by Satan, and the serpent bit them. And to this day, you and I suffer the venom of that snake bite of the first Adam, sin. But Jesus came, the last Adam, and he died on the cross, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. That's that hedge, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So Jesus has restored not only the hedge around us of righteousness, but he's inoculated us from the snake bite of the venom of sin. And Luke 10:19, it says, you shall trample upon serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. Mark 16:17, you shall lay hands on the sick. Oh, you'll cast out devils in my name, demons. So spiritually, we're lifted above the snake line. The snake speaks of satanic powers, right? Okay, just giving a foundation here. Ephesians 2:5, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So it's about learning to live above the snake line is learning to understand who you are, your identity in Christ, that you don't have to yield to the things that belong to the kingdom of darkness, like sickness, disease, poverty, depression, addictions. You don't have to be a slave to those things. The venom of sin, Jesus took it in his own body, and he gives us another spirit, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of sound mind. And he gives us a better wairua than the wairua we had. The wairua tapu comes and joins with our wairua. 2 Corinthians 7, 7:16, that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So there's a spirit of God and the spirit of man, your spirit. But when you're born again of the spirit, God's spirit connected, your spirit, you're one spirit. Guess what spirit is? The word spirit means is breath. In Hebrew and in Greek, it's breath. The word spirit in Hebrew, the spirit in Greek is a breath. And so he that is joined to the Lord, it's literally saying is one breath. Someone dies, it says their breath leaves them. The body without the spirit, the ha, is dead. If you are, well, obviously, you're alive because your breath is in you, your spirit's in you. But if your spirit left your tinana, your body, you'll be gone. Because your life is your spirit, your soul. The body has no life in it. The body is just a, I think it's $18.17 worth of minerals and dirt and water. It's worth nothing. It's just a piece of mud. God created the body. It was just a piece of dirt, just a piece of flesh, until he breathed into it, the heart. His spirit went into it, and man became a living soul. So when you die, when we die, we don't die. Our soul cannot die. That which is living cannot die. So you cannot die. Your soul, your spirit cannot die. You live forever. But your tinana will go back to the dust. But your wairua will go back to God who gave it. And if it's in Christ, it goes to where Christ is. If it's not in Christ, it goes to where he isn't. So anyway, the breath. So guess what? You're carrying the breath of God. Do you want to feel the breath of God? Do you want to literally feel the physical, tangible breath of God? Okay, so breath is, spirit is breath. Where's your breath? So, your breath and God's breath, your spirit and God's spirit are as one. So when you blow on your hand, can I really blow on a hand? Tahi rua toru. That's breath. Now most people think, oh, that's just my human breath. Well, I don't. That's not human breath. That's divine breath of God coming out of my mouth. That's the spirit of God that's joined with my spirit. And when I breathe over the blind or the cripples or the cancer, when God tells me to, this divine power touches human flesh and it comes back to life. And people say, well, it doesn't work for me. It's because you don't believe it. Because these signs only follow those who believe in my name. Okay, and so that's what WAC, I teach you through WAC. I teach you to get out of whatever you've been and go to another level and to be a critical thinker and think about, why do you believe some of the stuff you believe? If it's still not working 20 years later, why do you believe that? Or what adjustment do you need to make in the Word of God and your relationship with Jesus to see fruit instead of just, well, not lying, but you know, declaring something that's not a reality in your life? We need some critical thinking and be honest with ourselves and say, not what do I believe, but dig deeper. Anyway, moving on. Sorry, guys, I'm just sort of So one of the benefits of being lifted above the snake line, or as being lifted in relationship with God, kanohi kiti kanohi, face to face, is that you stay above the snake line. As long as you've got your face on to God, you're above the snake line. And all the serpents might be around you, but you're above the snake line. You live in righteousness. Daniel was in the lion's den, but he's above the snake line because he's kanohi kiti kanohi with the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the burning furnace, they're above the snake line because they were kanohi kiti kanohi with Ehu. And the snakes couldn't get them. Ehu! That's where we live above the snake line while we live in Christ, while we keep consciously focused on who we are and what we are in Jesus' name. And you have to train yourself at that. So Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. Now it will come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of God and observe carefully all his commandments which I command you to do. Okay, so God's saying you've got to do all these rules. If you do these rules, I will lift you high above all the nations. I will lift you high above the snake line. I'll lift you high above all the nations of the earth. And these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. He says, if you obey me, if you be perfect, I will lift you high above. Who's perfect here? Anyone? So we lose? No, we don't. Jesus became perfect on our behalf. Jesus fulfilled the conditions. We did not obey every command, but he did on our behalf. Therefore, every promise that God gives is yes and amen in Jesus. So because Jesus died on the cross and obeyed the commands that you and I didn't, you now have been lifted high above all the nations of the earth. So in 2020, when the Lord said two waves are going to go around the earth through COVID, one will be fear, the second will be depression, and the depression is going to cause more damage than the first wave, he said, but don't settle for the world's narrative. Don't settle for your town or your city what the world is telling you. I says, what do I do? He says, Matthew 6:10, Thy kingdom, your kingdom come. Your will be done on our whenua. Your will be done among our people. Your will be done upon this earth as it is in heaven. That's the narrative. He says, you decree that. And we've been decreeing that ever since. We're not going to settle for economic collapse or business failure. We're pushing in for better businesses, for growth, for development, for entrepreneurial. We're pressing in because we are lifted high above. That's the way we've got to think. You've got to think like that. You know, the spirit and the mind's got to lift together. So we're lifted high above. That's what he says. And I believe this. I happen to believe it. Now, God wants you to prosper this year. And and one of the things he lifts us above, we're lifted above the drama. We're lifted above the fear. We're lifted above the stress. We're lifted above the anxiety. We looked out of our window today and at the Wigram old airport, it's where they're doing the old jabs, the old COVID shots. It's just packed. It's cars queued up for Africa. And that's because people are freaking out. And thank God I'm not freaking out, either of you. Because we have the peace of God that passes all understanding that the world can't give you. You can't get from a little jab. Not against it, not for it. But, you know, the fact that it is what it is. But we're lifted above the anxiety. We're lifted above the fear. And we're lifted above what couldn't happen. And, oh, what if I die, if I get COVID? Wow, your times are in God's hands. Don't worry about it. You'll die when it's his time, not COVID's. But what if I die if I take the jab and I get all those side effects? Well, your times are in God's hand. You're going to die either way. But your soul can't die until it's fulfilled its divine purpose. And Jesus said, Father, I have done the work, the mahi you've given me to do. I've glorified you on the earth. Take me home. That's what I want to do. I want to be able to say when I finish, Epa, I've finished the mahi. I've glorified you on the earth. I've done what you called me to do. Let's go. Let's go. We're only here to fulfill the purpose of God. We're not here to have a long life and a cruisy life. That's well and good. That's what he's got for you. Ke te pai. But, you know, Jesus' life was only 33 years on the earth, but he fulfilled the purpose. John the Baptist, only just over 30 years. Now, it's not about the length of time. It's about fulfilling the purpose of God on your life. Don't waste your time by not serving him. So God wants you to prosper, whānau. Here's a scripture, 2 Chronicles 26:5. I love this scripture. Okay, God wants you to prosper. This is what he says about you. And he sought God. This is King Uzziah. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding of the visions of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. There's your key. Kanohi kiti kanohi. As long as Peter kept his face on the face of Jesus, a divine power came on him. He was able to walk on the impossibilities of life on the water. It's a divine power comes when we look into the face of God. How do we look into the face of God? With these eyes? Nah, with the eyes of your wairua, the eyes of your faith. And I just believe he's watching down on me. I go, nah, I'm doing this for you, Lord. You better be with me or I'm stuffed. I don't feel bold. I don't feel dripping with the anointing. I don't feel the powers on me. I don't feel nothing. But I just know what he says to my wairua. And I just do what he tells me to do. That's all Jesus did. Whatever he says, I do it. Whatever he shows me, I do it. You just act it out. Sometimes you have to fake it till you make it. But So that's God's plan. As long as you seek the Lord, you're going to prosper. You're going to prosper. How then? So that's what he wants. How do you seek the Lord? Okay, this is really interesting. This is a real practical teaching that should help you if you apply it. Colossians 2, 3, verse 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not man. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So when you do anything, when I do anything unto myself, when I perform stuff or live, and what I'm doing is if it's just for what I'm going to get out of it, selfish motive, then I get nothing. I get no reward. You know, you go and build a business or whatever, and it's all for you. All the money's on you. You get nothing for it. You get no reward other than the benefits of having a business. You know, you go and do whatever you do, if you just do it for yourself, there's no reward other than the benefits of the mahi of your hands. But when you do it unto the Lord, when you transfer the motive or whatever you do as unto the Lord, it's transferring the motivation behind what you do in life. When you transfer the motivation, coming to church. Some came this morning because this is what you got to do. I'm a Christian. I got to come to church. That's what I do. And you do it out of duty. And that's kapoi. It's not a bad habit. But if you do it for the Lord, if you do it out of relationship, coming to the hahi, rather than coming because, oh, well, it's Sunday. It's what we do. And I'm trying to teach my church, going back to what, how I built the church originally. And God sent me to Gisborne and he said, make sure you build the church for my presence. Don't build it for the people. You might think that's sort of counter-constructive. Because if my presence is not there, it's not going to draw your people. So I built the church around his presence. And I taught our people how to love and honor the presence of God. And the presence of God began to manifest in miracles. And that's when the people came. And that's how the church grew. And we got so big that we sort of focused on church activities and coming to church. Because, you know, we had mahi to do. We had ministries to do. We had people to reach. And it was all good. There's nothing wrong with that motive. But it's not as unto the Lord sometimes. It's just, oh, yeah, where's the ushers? Oh, they're doing their mahi. Where's the school teachers, the Bay Warrior teachers, and they're just doing their mahi. And you can easily forget who you're doing this for, eh? Coming, driving to church this morning. You can easily forget who you're doing this for. If you're doing it for him. Whatsoever you do, do it with all your heart, as unto him. And what's the reward? The presence. The presence of God. The presence of God. The presence of God. Whatever I do unto the Lord, I'm hosting his presence. I make the bed for Jess. That's an act of worship. That not only pleases God, but it hosts his presence every morning. Ooh, I hope you get this, because this is going to revolutionize the way that you're walking as you do it as unto the Lord. Because he said, if you seek me, oh, you will prosper. That's the what. This is the how. How do you seek God? You don't have to spend extra 3 hours fasting and praying. You just do what you're already doing. If you're a mum at home, if you've got teaching your children at home, if you've got a business, if you're a freezing worker, a forestry worker, whatever you do, you don't have to do anything new. Just transfer your motivation behind what you do as unto the Lord. And something happens in the spirit world. Ding! Suddenly, angels begin to invade your day. God begins to orchestrate your circumstances. That, wow, that was God. Yeah, that was God. And you've got to look for it. If you're not consciously training yourself to look for the presence, you'll never see it. I had a game with my kids when we were young. Whoever saw 10 red cars gets a prize when we're traveling somewhere. Next minute, they're seeing red cars everywhere. It's not because they mysteriously appeared. It's just because when you look for it, you'll see it. Jesus said to the disciples, lift your eyes. Stop praying for the harvest. Stop praying for souls. I hate prayer meetings when they're praying for souls. And the harvest is right there. You go out and you reap in the harvest. You pray for the laborers, not souls. You pray for laborers because the harvest is right. Jesus, lift your eyes. Be consciously aware. Intentionally look. The harvest is right here. But all those guys could see at Samaria was a woman, a Samaritan woman. They saw this gender prejudice. They had this cultural prejudice. They had this religious prejudice. But Jesus saw a woman. Do you see this woman? Do you see this man? Do you see this whānau? That's the harvest. The people. He tangata, he tangata, he tangata. Lift your eyes. The harvest is ready and waiting in ōtautahi, your harvest. And so you have to train your spiritual senses. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. How long does it take to become a teacher? How long, what's the training to become a secondary teacher? Primary school teacher. Is it what, 3-4 years? Secondary, a bit longer, isn't it? What about to become a lawyer? How many years training? 5. A surgeon, a doctor? Yeah. So they train themselves through practical study, practical application, and experience. They train themselves for years and years and years. And then they begin their practice or their business and so forth. We were taught we can change the world. We're the history makers. We're the nation shakers. We used to sing songs, I am history maker. Da 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 da. And it's all wonderful songs. And I went into the enemy's camp and took back what he took from me. A lot of it's just songs. It's not reality. And it's like, and I'm not being critical, I'm just saying so many Christians think a little 5-minute devotional that they read every day and a couple of prayers and church on Sunday, that that's going to be enough to make them a history maker. They're going to change their neighborhood. That's enough, that God, there'll be so much of God on them. You've got to train yourself to be a history maker. You've got to train yourself to be a nation shaker. God does it through you. But Jesus trained his disciples. He trained them. Hardcore training. SAS style. Do or die. He had to teach them to get out of themselves, to turn away from their selfish natures and to turn to kanohi ki te kanohi. And it's training. And listen to this. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 13. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the spiritually mature, this is Amplified, whose senses are trained by practice to distinguish between what is morally good and what is evil. A good mechanic can listen to your engine and tell you immediately what the problem is because I've trained themselves through years of study, practical application, and experience to do this. A good doctor can examine you and can tell you usually immediately what your problem is and what the remedy is, because I've spent years studying practical application and experience. And I can bring anybody into the conscious, supernatural presence of God anytime, any place, not because it's a gift, because I've trained myself through study, practical application, and experience over years. And I have some young on fire Christians, Pastor, I want your mantle. So, well, you can pay the price, you can have it. Actually, it's my mantle, and it ain't off me until it's my time to go. And if you can't handle the weight of responsibility, so if you're not going to do the study, the practical application, and you're willing to pay the price, no mantle can come to you. It's all dream, dream, dream. Dream, 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 dream. Dreamers. And so I don't want to raise up dreamers. I want to raise up those who fulfill the dreams of God. And so I'm just giving some, yeah, it sounds a bit hardcore. I hope I'm not coming across harsh. But I'm just, you know, I just want to put some truths out there. Some things need to be said. Some mental blocks to remove in order to be. So I want you to learn how to carry the presence of God. I want you to learn how to host the presence of God. How? By you transferring your motive behind everything you do from today. Going home. You're either just going to go home for lunch or you're going to do it as unto the Lord. How does that work? I don't know. I just do it. Lord, I just give you glory. I'm going home as unto you. I give you praise. I give you glory. He says, sweet as. And you just never know. God just turns up in the most unexpected ways. And whatever you do, learn to do it. That I've had to consciously train myself to be intentionally aware of the presence of God. It's training, it's training, it's training. But infants don't train themselves. They want to be spoon-fed all their life. We're going to go beyond being spoon-fed. Hebrews 5 is just the basic foundations. And Paul, well, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, said that, hey, if so we're not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith towards God, the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgments. Not laying again these basics. We will move on if God permits. These are just basic foundational truths. You ask most Christians, what is the doctrine of resurrection from the dead? I think when we die, we go to heaven. Yeah, but for what? What's behind all that? What are we going to do in heaven? Sit on clouds and play harps. We're being trained here in the earth for reigning from heaven. We're going to judge angels. Some of us are going to judge nations. Some of us will judge over towns and cities. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a little. Here, have authority over 10 cities, 5 cities. Paul said, don't you know? You're going to judge angels. Don't you know? It's like, no. And so I just want to encourage you and help you to get to a higher level of your walk with God. Do it out of relationship. Whatever I'm doing, I'm going to do it as unto you, Lord. Now, you're going to have to train yourself. Take about 30 days, a month, of intentionally being consciously aware of doing what you do unto the Lord. I did this for 13 seasons at the freezing works in Omaru, Pukuyuri. I was a way cutter on the chain. And when I became a Christian, heck, I just want to go to Bible school with all the Christians. I want to shine for Jesus, be a strong Christian. And the Lord says, no, this is your Bible college, the freezing works. He says, you'll shine brighter in the dark place, son, not in the... And I argued with God for a couple of years until I got it. He says, serve me in this place. These sheep are mine. This freezing work is mine. The earth is mine and the fullness thereof. Everything you do, as you do it unto me, you are serving me. You don't have to go to Bible school. And it's Bible school is good for some. But for me, he said, no, it's not for you. And so I got it. And so I went to work. Instead of going late, I'd go early, sharpen my knives, determine every sheep I do, it belongs to Jesus. And I lived like that for 13 seasons. Well, 10 seasons anyway, just whatever I did it unto the Lord. I had joy going to work because it wasn't just going to work. It was doing this as unto the Lord. And we had revelations. I led people to Jesus at the freezing works. We prayed for strikes, and some of them ended in hours, within hours. And when I left the freezing works, I was sad because I'd found God in the midst of my workplace. A full-time ministry is not because you have a spiritual title or a pastor or a church title. Full-time ministry, all in full-time ministry, if whatever we do is unto the Lord. Ministry is unto the Lord, not unto the church. Well, of course, it's unto the church, of course, but we do that even as unto the Lord. So you don't have to have a title. You don't have to have an office with your name on. You don't have to have a whatever, robes and whatever. You do whatever you do as unto the Lord. You're a full-time ministry. And I did that for 13 years at the freezing rinks. I loved it. So that's how I clicked onto this. Whatever I do, if I do it unto Jesus, it lifts me above the snake line. It lifts me above the snake line. And so, is this helping somebody? Yes, now, here's some mental blocks you're going to have to deal with. Some have been conditioned to think you're not good enough to carry, let alone release this presence. It's the mental blocks. I'm speaking to somebody here. You're not good enough. Who do you think you are? You have to deal with that mental block. It's a lie. You have to take that captive to the obedience of what God's, the knowledge of what God says about you. It's not whether you're good enough. He gave it as a gift. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Another mental block is many are conditioned not to believe in their own prayers or faith. I do that sometimes. Sometimes I'm praying and I just catch myself. I don't even believe my prayer. I don't even believe what I'm praying for. Have you ever done that before? You're praying for somebody and it's just words coming out of your mouth. I just, oh God, forgive me. So I go to Taiho and get real and center my wairua. Okay, if I haven't got the faith, if I'm not going to believe for this, I'm not going to pray. So I have to go and spend some time with God. So when I do a karakia, then I'm doing it as unto the Lord. Okay? So some people, they just blindly pray. La, 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 blab it and grab it. And nothing happens. So you've got to learn how to believe in your own prayers and pray real prayers. And many are church conditioned to think that, the presence will only come after I've done three praise and one worship. Then the presence will come. Many Christians are church conditioned. They're out in the streets, and it's a different environment out here. There's no hallelujah, hallelujah. There's no tears streaming down people's eyes. There's somebody manifesting, swearing and cursing. Someone taking a toke out of the bong. How do I find Jesus? Whatever I do it as unto the Lord. One of my bros the other day, a couple of weeks ago, he's on a bracelet. And he's been doing so well. He's usually back in prison within 2 weeks. He's been out for 5 months. And he's reconnecting to Jesus. One night, this demon came on him. And his missus said, his eyes went black. I've never seen him like that. His eyes went black. So that's a devil, demon, spirit, kihua. And he's going to cut his bangle, his bracelet. And he's going to go and hunt somebody down. He said, this is not the guy that I know. I said, no, it's a demon. I said, what happened? He said, I don't know. We were just freaking out. I said, you can't do this, you can't do this. But the Holy Spirit was there. God's got a plan for this guy. I prayed over him. And she said, he just froze. He went to the couch and he couldn't get up. And he sat there for an hour. And he's trying to move, but he couldn't move. It was 5 minutes. And after he came out of it, he said, "What happened to me?" And his eyes had come back to normal. What was that? That was an angel. That was his Anahera, his angel. Came in. I know it was his angel. Because God's got a plan for him. And he's doing his best. Whatever he does it as unto the Lord. Now, he's a gang member. He's still calling the shots. He's still dealing. He's got one partner he sleeps with and one he wants to marry. And this is what it's like out there. This is life. I'm not there. I'm not the moral police telling what to do and what not to do. I just connect him to Ihu, kanohi ki te kanohi. When he looks into the face, that old song. You know, when I look upon the eyes and into the face of Jesus, the things of the earth grow strangely dim when I gaze upon the face of Jesus. So he more and more he's getting like this. Another fella, he said, "Hey Norm, your Jesus might be working for me." I said, "How?" He said, "I need 20 joints a day, normally." I said, "Oh, what's up?" He said, "I only need 6 now." So that's where Jesus, this is presence. It's not just hallelujah. And we've got to get out of this church mentality. I think we've got to bring the church into the community, the church into the streets. We can bring Jesus. And how do you do that? Go in, whenever you're with people, say, "Lord, I do this as unto you. I'm transferring my motive unto you." And you watch, he'll show up in the most unexpected ways. It's exciting. My life is exciting. I have all these stories of adventures because I've constantly trained myself to be intentionally aware of his presence. Because whatever I do it as unto the Lord. Okay, so can doing a physical thing actually host the presence of God? Coming to a close. The Old Testament Levites, now they had to, in the tabernacle, they had to chop the firewood up, put on the sacrifice, you know, to light the altar. They had to kill the sheep, skin it, gut it, prepare it, put it on God's barbecue, the big altar. They had to wash their hands. They had to do all these physical things. They had to clear the water from the brazen laver. The priest, he had to go and put fresh oil in it every 24 hours into the candlestick, give it a grease and oil change. See, these are physical activities that the priests did as unto the Lord. They weren't doing it for themselves. It was hard mahi. They were doing it as unto the Lord. And what was the result? The cloud by day and the fire by night. What they were doing as unto the Lord attracted the presence of God and kept the presence of God over Israel. Just chopping wood, could that bring the presence of God? Could that be an act of worship? Yep, when you're doing it unto the Lord, it will release his presence. It will host his presence. And so I thought, there's some physical things I can do as I do it unto the Lord. And there's some physical things you can do as unto the Lord. I tell people I make the bed every day because Jess loves that. And the reason I do it as unto the Lord. I do it for Jess, but I do it as unto the Lord. Why? Because it says, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. For that's an act of love to my wife, but it's an act of worship unto God. And it hosts the presence of God. The presence of God is on me when I'm making the bed because I'm not doing it unto myself, I'm doing it as unto the Lord. Just like the Levites chopping wood, the presence of, he's hosting the presence of God over Israel because he's not doing it to himself, he's doing it as unto the Lord. There's no reward when you do anything unto yourself, but there's only a reward when you do it as unto the Lord, the inheritance of the reward. And it's not the reward in heaven, the by and by, it's the here and now inheritance of his presence here on the whenua today. So coming to a close. So how can making the bed for Jess host the presence? Well, because it's an expression of my love as a husband to my wife. It's a expression of my obedience to the word of God. I'm also doing it as unto him. As unto him. As a result, I'm pleasing the Lord. I love to please God. Don't please him all the time. Do you know you're always loved by God? God will always love you. But he won't always be pleased with you. You know that, eh? I love my kids. I love my mokapuna. But I'm not always pleased with them. But I'll die for them. I'll love them. And God loves us. But, you know, sometimes we stuff up, don't we? Sometimes, you know, we get selfish and do stupid things. It's not pleasing to God. Okay? And I want to learn how to please God. And so living as unto the Lord is the acts, your acts, your physical acts, become acts that please God because it's done unto him. Jesus said, I always do the things that please him. I thought, wow, I wish I could say that all the time. I always do the things that please him. But you learn. Hey, you grow up. You just learn. So your day-to-day physical activities can become a spiritual act of worship that pleases God. Here's some things that you do. Cooking meals. Either it's a household chore or you're doing it as unto the Lord. Doing the housework. Doing the vacuuming. Changing babies' butt. Bottom. Taking the kids to school. Driving to work. If you do it as unto the Lord, you're hosting his presence. See, the beauty is you don't have to, I've got to spend 3 hours in prayer and fasting to get the presence of God. Nah. You don't have to add anything to your life. Just do everything you do as unto the Lord. That's more powerful than doing 3 hours of prayer and fasting and getting nothing. Because it's intentional. It's life. I mean, prayer and fasting, yeah, that's all good. Now, I have seasons where I do all that, but that's, I don't seek the presence of the Lord just through an event. I seek the presence of the Lord through my life. I have lifestyle presence. Lifestyle presence. I have a presence lifestyle, should I say. A presence lifestyle. You can write that down. Do you have a presence lifestyle? And a presence lifestyle is when you choose to do everything as unto the Lord, and his presence will invade you. Okay, nearly there. So, doing the lawns, doing the gardens. I can come back from overseas, seeing great miracles, signs and wonders. And the churches, they won't let me even open my door. They give me such honor. They carry my bag. I mean, I can open my door. I can carry my bag. But they want to honor me. They feel if they honor a man of God, that, you know, I'm not into all that stuff. But that's, I don't want to deprive them of feeling blessed that they're doing something for me. So they open the door, carry my bag, and call me apostle this and apostle that, and seat me there. Oh, it's amazing. I do like it sometimes. Yeah, true. I'd be lying if I didn't say I did. And then I get home. And the lawns need done. And Jess says, Apostle Norm, go and do the lawns. Apostle Norm, help take that rubbish to the dump. Apostle Norm. See, it just brings me back to the reality. Okay. But even doing the lawns, it's unto the Lord. It's as unto the Lord. It's beautiful, isn't it? Whatever you do. So I want to serve the Lord. I want to go to Bible school. I want to do a ministry that's serving God and touching my community. Well, learn to serve God in your personal life first. Learn to just use your personal life. You've been given and trusted a life. Learn to be faithful and just using your life to serve him first. How can you can't serve him by reaching, touching others unless you know how to serve him with your own personal life. It's being real, eh? Serve your wife, your husband, your sons, your daughters, your mums, your dads, your uncles and aunts. Serve your whānau. You know, pour out, you know, be the blessing for them. As we love our neighbour, he tangata, then it goes out further to our communities and so forth. It's pretty simple. I mean, church whānau's got it. You know, we gather together as unto the Lord. We love one another as unto the Lord. But it's the day-to-day when we leave. Oh, off to lunch now. What's for lunch? Yeah, it's good, but you've got to consciously train yourself to be intentional about the presence of God. Either I'm in places, they're getting my order taken for meals, I'm just waiting in the presence. Do I get a word of knowledge for this waitress? What's this guy going through? Who's that person over the table? You've got to train yourself. You've got to train yourself. The church isn't really that good at training itself. It gets inspired, but it doesn't get equipped. So I want to encourage you. This is a practical way of training yourself, intentionally hosting the presence of God, presence lifestyle, to whatever you do, transfer it as unto the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Exodus 25:8, build me a house that I might dwell among my people. So this is the evidence of God in our services. When I first started the first few services, this is what happened. Jimmy Brown was born deaf in one ear, and his ear popped open. I didn't even pray for his healing. He's just sitting there, just popped. Vincy, she had a car accident. She had degeneration of the spine. She was healed. Anne Cameron's sister, she had rheumatoid arthritis. As she was sitting there, her bones started going snap, 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 snap. And they snapped, all snapped back into place, and she was able to drive her manual car back to Hamilton after that. A man in an electric wheelchair had MS. I had to help us lift his chair over the lip and the door to get him in. And I did lay hands on him. And he walked, stepped out of that wheelchair and kept on walking. Lay's dad had arthritis. No one even prayed for him. We would just come and sit in the church because we pray over all the seats. Those seats are prayer cloths. Those seats are prayer cloths. Our team knows how to stand there and get words of knowledge over who's going to be sitting there, what they're going through, and so forth. So when they see the person sitting there, they already have the intel. And so we know when anyone sits in one of our seats, if they've got sickness in their bodies, if they're open to God, they get healed. Even if they're not open to God, a lot of them get healed. There's one guy who had a neck brace for 9 years, and he's sitting there, and he said this heat just went through his neck, and he heard crack, 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 crack. He said, "What's happening to my neck?" So he went into to the wharepaku, took his brace off, and he hasn't worn it since. It's the presence of God. And if it's not just hosting his presence in church, it's not just hosting his presence in our meetings, it's hosting his presence in our day-to-day activities, hosting his presence even in the wharepaku. It's a toilet. He's everywhere. Host his presence. Well, not saying do that as unto the Lord, but whatever. Knock yourself out. So these are the evidence of his presence. Lil came on crutches. This is the old Māori lady. And she walked out without the crutches. Went home and told her whānau. Said, "Nan, you got no crutch? You've healed." She says, "Yeah." So the whole whānau came to church the next day. All got saved. Just amazing. It's because of his presence. Lifestyle presence. Develop a lifestyle presence. Imagine if everyone develops lifestyle presence. Everybody here. Ooh. And when you come to church on Sunday, you're coming as unto the Lord for his presence. Not because, oh, I wonder what the preacher is. Who's the preacher? What's the message? What am I going to get out of church today? Oh, I want to get a blessing. Oh, I need a prophecy. Forget all that. That's as unto yourself. Just coming to church as unto yourself. It's selfish. The church is meant to care for me. Yes, it is. But church is not meant to be the motive for you coming. Getting what you get from church is not the motivation for coming to church. It's the gathering unto the presence of the Lord. The people unto him shall be the gathering be. It's unto the presence of the Lord. So imagine if, you know, through the week now, you start transferring everything you do as unto the Lord, then you start getting a few testimonies of encounters of God turning up in the workplace or the garage or pack and save. And then you come on Sunday, everyone, it's like, "I'm coming for your presence, Lord." Imagine the atmosphere. There's going to be, you won't have to do words of knowledge because people just start getting healing. Bang, 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 bang. That happens. That's what happens in our meetings. It's not because we're special. It's just we've trained ourselves through study, through practical application and experience. And it is hard work. I mean, sometimes you're, "Oh, I don't feel like doing it. I don't feel like doing this." But like I said yesterday, any sacrifice that's got resistance, it's going to smell beautiful to God if you push through that resistance and you do it as unto the Lord. Okay, I've finished. Father, your word is like, it's life, it's truth. It cuts through the spirit and the soul. It discerns the hearts and the thoughts and the intents of men. Now, Lord, the spirit of each person here is strong. But it's the soul, Lord. And we're to be led of your spirit, not of our soul, our thoughts, our emotions, our choices outside of your will. And so, Lord, help us to help my sons, my brothers and sisters, help us, help me to continue to develop presence lifestyle and to see you in everything and to include you in every aspect of our day, not just at church on Sunday, not just at a church event, but it becomes presence lifestyle, not event. And Lord, I thank you that whoever does this unto you, they will receive the inheritance of the reward because they're serving you, not man. So, Lord, I just pray for a move on this word, for breath upon this word will not be a word, the seed that falls to the dust powerless, and to soil that demons take away, but will fall in good soil, faithful, patient, application. And that, Father, begin to bear fruit, 30, 60, 100. I ask, Father, that this word that you watch over, it's not my word, it's yours. I do this as unto you for the benefit of your people, for the equipping of your saints, for the work of the ministry. Breathe on it, Father, as I breathe. Water it now, Father. Water it and let it bring forth great fruit for this house, for the glory of your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your week.